Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. Let's invite you into the Word of the Lord. Go with me to Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. And I want to read one verse here, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice. I want to read that again. I want those words to sink in. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice. I want to preach what is heavy upon my heart here this morning. And I know that taking a little liberty here with this scripture, but the essence of it, I don't believe that we're doing any harm. I simply want to preach the Holy Ghost says today. The Holy Ghost says today. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? The Lord would have his way in the remainder of this service, and he would touch the hearts of people, and we would yield to his touch. We would surrender our hearts to what he wants to do. Would you pray? Lord God, I'm asking you to move, to minister, to work in this house. Stir the hearts of people in this place. I pray that you would deal with every mind and heart, bring it into captivity of your spirit. I pray, Jesus, that we could be moved upon by the Holy Ghost and hear the voice of the Lord as it speaks to us here this morning. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to be open. Help us to be yielded. In Jesus' mighty name, would you clap your hands to him in praise? Hallelujah. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. The Holy Ghost says today. One of the most challenging things for any gospel preacher, and I feel this responsibility often, and that is to create and to properly articulate a sense of urgency in an evangelistic type service when the Lord is endeavoring to reach and to move upon and touch people's souls. Because what we're wrestling with in the 21st century, and I suppose it's been a challenge for preachers even before this particular time, but I have noticed in my ministry over the last couple of decades, I've noticed that the intensity of this and the challenge of this is greater now than perhaps it has ever been. And that is that people feel like they have plenty of time. They feel like that God's presence, God's Spirit will always be available. What we're feeling here today will always be accessible. And there could be nothing any further from the truth because according to my Bible, the Bible tells us that God will not always strive with man. No matter how many stories we hear of people's lives being snuffed out like a candle prematurely, we don't think that it will ever happen to us or that we'll ever face that or we'll ever deal with that. And the frightening thing for me is, as a minister here this morning, is that I may be preaching my last sermon, the last Bible message that anyone would be able to hear this side of eternity. And so every time I approach this desk, I don't do it with an attitude of flippancy or I don't come with any presumptuousness. I don't come to this pulpit with anything but a heavy burden to do the will of God, because it is so important that the will of God be done here this morning. Because souls in every service, I believe, are hanging in the balance. It's important that we get through to people. It's important that you be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many knows that the gospel is the only thing that will save you? It's the only thing, by being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the only way that you can make it. It's the only way that you can go to heaven. There's no other pathway, there's no other way that you can be saved but to repent of your sins and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins and to receive this glorious experience in the Holy Ghost and to walk in that experience, to walk after the Spirit. How many knows that receiving this New Testament salvation is just the starting point? It's just the beginning point. You got to walk and you got to follow and you got to continue to obey God and His Word and walk according to His precepts and His principle. I don't believe in a once saved, always saved doctrine. Matter of fact, I feel that that is probably one of the most damnable doctrines that's ever came to this world, is to believe that once you've ever found God that you can never lose Him. Amen. I don't read that in God's Bible, but I find that it's a careful walk. The Bible says for me to walk circumspectly. I got to walk after the Spirit. I got to continue to be obedient. I can't think of any more disheartening or discouraging thing is to see somebody walk with God for many years and then for whatever reason grow cold in their heart and backslide and walk away from God. I cannot think of anything any more disappointing to observe and to see than to see somebody lose their relationship with God. So as I preach this morning, I realize my responsibility, and I know that I have to do everything that I possibly can do to reach your soul. I also realize the challenge that I'm up against, and that is that it seems like in this day and hour that this is not the message that people want to hear. They don't want to hear about sand slipping through the hourglass. They don't want to hear about the coming of the Lord being more imminent now than it ever has been. They don't want to hear about hell, and they don't want to hear about eternity. They don't want to hear that sin will send you to hell and that you can be lost and separated from the presence of God forever and ever. People don't want to hear that, but that doesn't take away from its reality. That doesn't take away from the fact that there is going to be people, and even people, as difficult as it is for me to say it, there's probably people right here under the sound of my voice that will be lost and without God. You say, preacher, why do you have to be so negative? I'm not being negative. I'm just being a realist here this morning. I'm just preaching to you. What I'm talking about today is serious. We're talking about souls, and we're talking about eternity, and we're talking about people being right with God, and we're talking about a white throne judgment, and we're talking about the end of time, and it's time that somebody, a preacher, stands up and preaches what the word of the Lord says. Amen. That we've got to be saved, that we've got to be right, that we've got to make heaven, and nothing really else matters. When it's all said and done, when this race is over, I want it to be said that I received that incorruptible crown, that I reached the end of my race, that I walked with God, that I'd done what the Word of God instructed me to do. We hear verses like 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will that anybody not make it. It's not God's will that anybody go unsaved, but He is a patient God. He's a very merciful God. Amen. He offers opportunities after opportunities and chances after chances. But there is a place where we'll receive our last opportunity. There's a date on the calendar where we're going to receive our last altar call. We're going to have our last church service. It's going to be the last time we'll ever gather here and convene in the presence of the Lord. And it'll be the last time we'll ever have opportunity to feel the touch of God and conviction. I don't know when that day is. I'm sure it is a different date, amen, and a different time for various individuals that is in this place here this morning. But I think it would be good for all of us to be cognizant of the fact that there is a date that is coming. There is a time that is coming. And we need to be aware of that. We need to live our lives in lieu of the fact that the Lord is coming and time is ticking and God is giving me opportunity. Bible said even somebody as wicked as Jezebel, that he gave her a space, he gave her a chance, he gave her a time to repent. Amen. God gives all men, all women, a chance and an opportunity to hear and to respond and to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't explain why it seems that some people get more opportunities than others. I don't know why it seems like some folks get a lot more chances than other people. It almost seems like a discrimination. It almost seems like an injustice. But I'm not God, and I don't know the hearts of men. I don't know what it'll take, but God knows, and God reaches. And I don't know all the prayers that have went into souls and them being saved and how merciful God is to hear the prayers of a mother that's been praying for a lost son, or a mother that's been praying for a lost daughter, or maybe a wife that's prayed for a lost husband. And so God, moved by those prayers, continues to deal with the heart and continues to stir the soul and send preacher after preacher and give opportunity after opportunity. But I promise you this, that every opportunity that you have at the presence of God is a very valuable thing. Yeah, it's a very valuable. You can't put a price tag on what we're feeling here today. You can't put a proper appraisal on the power and the presence of Almighty God when it begins to move on the hearts of individuals. God touches people. God stirs people. I remember a man in southeast Louisiana, or rather southwest Louisiana, around the Lake Charles area, was in a revival service, and he had almost prided himself in not being stirred or not being moved by the presence of the Lord, and had came at the pleading of his family to the revival several services, but kind of sat staunchly back in the pew, and when the altar services commenced, he would slip out. But one particular night when the preacher was preaching and the conviction of God was falling upon that congregation and God was stirring people's hearts as he often does in his goodness and in his mercy, this particular man, the Lord began to deal with him because he had a family that had such an extreme burden for him. You ought to thank God every day if you got somebody praying for you. Amen. Staving off the judgments of God. Staving off, amen, whatever it is that the devil would try to do to destroy you, because he's on a mission to try to destroy you. And it's probably only because of the prayers of certain people that have kept and held back those things that the devil would try to do in your life. You ought to thank God for somebody that prays protection around you. Praise the angels of the Lord to encamp about you. Amen. Praise that God would give you another chance and another opportunity to find him. And so this man standing in that service and had made up his mind again that I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to seek the face of God again tonight, when suddenly the Lord in his mercy revealed to him what I would call a vision. He said it was like this. When he came down to the altar, he received the Holy Ghost. He repented at the end of that service. They asked him, said, "You sat so staunchly and callous for so many nights. What was it that caused you to respond? What was it that finally made you to move? It seemed like there was a switch that was flipped, and you came down to the altar and you responded, and I couldn't see anything really different about that service than other services." He said, "While I was standing there and the preacher was giving the altar call, he said, I saw like a payment book, much like what you would receive if you bought a new automobile. And he said, when I opened it, he said, I saw that there was several stubs that had already been used up. And he said, there was just one left in there, just like one coupon that was left. And he said, suddenly there was a large hand that come and ripped that stub away from the stub and wadded it up and threw it out, threw it away. And he said, it was then I realized that God was speaking to me that I was receiving my last altar call. I was receiving my last chance, my last opportunity to pray and to talk to God." Amen. I would to God that everybody get a vision like that when they got the last altar call. But I can tell you, as an evangelist, I preach to people that never realized that they was receiving their last Bible message. They never even realized that it was the last sermon that they were ever going to hear and the last tug of God that they were ever going to feel on their heart. I would to God that he dealt with everybody like that. But we need to be acute enough and sharp enough here this morning and sensitive enough to realize that God is trying to speak to us and God is trying to move in our hearts, and this is more important than what's happening at the church, and this is more important than fellowship that's going to take place later. This is more important than lunch plans, but getting right with God, serving the Lord, is the most important thing. The Apostle Paul did pose a question. 1 Peter chapter 4, he said, "What shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall the end be?" And then the Apostle Paul seems, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, to pick up his pen and answer this question in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse 7 through 9. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with the mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." If for some reason an individual chooses not to respond, if for some reason, unexplainable reason, you choose not to pray and you choose not to yield and you choose not to surrender to the Spirit of God, the Bible here clearly tells us there's a day coming, if I obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be punished with everlasting destruction and I'll be separated forever from the presence of the Lord. Maybe this is why, knowing this and having a vision of eternity, the prophet Isaiah said it this way: "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." This reveals to us the very obvious, and that is that there is a time when God can be felt, when God is near, when he is available, when he is accessible to us. And it's then that we need to call on him. It's then that we need to pray to him. It's then that we need to seek him while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near, and he can hear your prayers and your voice as it cries unto the Lord. I want to seek the Lord while he's near to us today. Does anybody feel his nearness? Does anybody feel his closeness in this service? Amen. I tell you, it's a very heavy thing to be able to see people in an altar when God is moving, and it seems like at other times they could yield and they could really feel the presence of God, and the touch of God was so strong and the power of God was moving so strong upon them. And it seemed like it was so easy for them to really just right get into the presence of the Lord immediately. And then some way they got to feeling like that's the way it's always going to be. And they just played along with God. And then they come back and they search for that feeling. They search for that same peace and that same confirmation and that same touch of God that they felt in times past. And you can see the anguish on their countenance as they can't seem to break through. They can't seem to feel God like they used to feel Him. They did not call on Him when He was near. They didn't really yield to Him when He could be found. They didn't really search after the things of God when the opportunity was availed to them. Sort of like Ezekiel the prophet talked about the glory of the Lord departing from Israel. And he said that glory that was between the cherubs, he said it moved out to the threshold of the temple. It could be seen in the doorway of the house of God. And then in just a little while, it was just above them. And then a little while later, it was high above them. It wasn't something that happened immediately. It wasn't something that happened overnight. It wasn't something that happened just in a moment, but if you was to gauge this and to see this through the vision of Ezekiel, what he's saying is God is gradually moving off the scene. God's gradually moving somewhere where there's a people that's hungry for Him, where there's a people that'll reach for Him, where there's a people that'll cry out to Him. Amen. And the devil runs in and fills that void in that particular vision that Ezekiel saw. It was a very powerful illustration that God, when He strives with people and moves upon people and tries to touch people and tries to break through to people and they continually resist Him, then He moves to somebody else that is hungry, that will open their heart, that will say, God, I need You and I thirst for You and I desire You. Call on Me while I'm near. Seek Me while I may be found. One of the most powerful apostolic preachers in your Bible, the Apostle Paul, one of the most persuasive men that ever preached God's word, that ever had the call of God upon his life. Matter of fact, historians say so persuasive that guards had to be routinely changed as to keep them from being persuaded and converted to Christianity while he was incarcerated. But in Acts 24, in chains, the Bible says that he pleads with a man of authority by the name of Felix. And the preaching and the anointing was so strong that Felix, the scripture says, trembled. Amen. He was moved, physically moved, by what was going on spiritually within. And he was stirred and he was touched. And Paul began to crank down and really try to preach that you need to respond, Felix. You need to hear what I've got to say. You need to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Felix, the Bible says, go thy way for this time. And when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. In other words, leave me alone for just a little while. Let me contemplate this. Let me consider this. And when the appropriate time and when I've had time to really think it through, or when I've finished doing some of the things that I want to do and the plans that I've made, then I'll call for you tomorrow. It's just not convenient right now. Sad thing is, I don't read where it ever became convenient for Felix. I don't find any testimony of his conversion in this Bible that I read. I don't find where he ever found a convenient season. You have to move when God's moving. You can't put God on your calendar. You can't put God on your time scale. Amen. Because God doesn't own a watch and God doesn't have a calendar. The Holy Ghost said, today, today, when God moves, when His Spirit sweeps through a place, when a service just like this is given, God has given somebody an opportunity. And I feel like maybe for someone, their last opportunity to find Him. Today. Go ahead. Harden your heart. Go ahead and brace yourself. Go ahead. Don't yield. You're not proving anything because God always gets the last say. God always gets the last opportunity. God's in control of this thing. I'm not in control of it. You're not in control of it. Nobody's in control of it. God's in control of it. And it's God that sets the times, and it's God that sets the seasons, and it's God that reaches, and it's God that stirs, and it's God that convicts, and it's God that moves, not us. There was some new converts that just got the Holy Ghost, a young couple, and they came to outreach on the Saturday after they received the Holy Ghost, and I was going to go out and visit some people, and they were so zealous. Pastor hadn't discipled them much. They didn't know anything. You know, he was going to send them out. Excuse me. And, you know, there's just some things that are kosher and things that aren't kosher. And things he wanted them to learn and understand before they sent them into the homes of people that had visited the church. But he said, you know, I don't want in any way deter their zeal for God. So he made up his mind what he'd do. He just instruct them to take some flyers and just put them on the doors. And don't knock on the doors. Don't engage anybody. And so they did that. They went out and for several streets or blocks or whatever, they passed the flyers out. And the husband said to the wife, said, but I'm just feeling such a need and such a urgency to tell somebody about what has happened to us. You don't ever need to lose that. I said, you don't ever need to lose that. That zeal, that urgency, that yearning to let somebody else know that if God can change my life, He can change your life. If God can do this for me, He can do it for you. Come on, what's wrong with us if we've lost our faith that God is able to change people and turn people's lives around? God, don't ever let it get that old to me. Don't ever let it become that stale to me. And so they knew better, but finally went up and knocked on a door. And there was a young lady that opened the door, and she was crying. When she saw them, she just started sobbing. She said, come in. They reluctantly came in and began to talk to her about the Lord, invite her to church. And she said, you know, craziest thing. She said, I'm a long-time backslider. And said, I was just talking to my mother who was many miles away on the phone just moments ago. And I was telling her about all things going wrong in my life and how been so many reversals, so many bad situations, and I needed God. But I didn't know how to get back to Him. I didn't know where to go. I don't even know if there's a church here. I didn't know if there's a church here in this area that I could go to. And my mother said, well, I'm going to pray right now that God would send somebody to invite you and give you an opportunity. And as soon as she got done praying, I heard you knocking on the door. And so God has shown me today that He's showing His mercy to me and He's reaching to me. They didn't know what else to do. All they knew was Acts 2:38 and a few other one God scriptures. And they said, well, let's just pray right now. You believe God could renew you in the Holy Ghost? And they got to pray in there and having a prayer meeting. It wasn't long until she prayed through and was renewed in the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. God began to touch her and stir her soul and refresh her spirit and renew her in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost says right now, the Holy Ghost says at this moment, at this particular time,
time, when I'm moving, when I'm touching, while I'm stirring, while the waters are troubling, that's when it's time to move out. That's when it's time to respond. Don't sit back and second guess it. Don't sit back and say, well, I'll always have tonight. But move while you have the chance. Move while you can respond while God is talking to your soul. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Would you just raise your hands with me and let's pray together? Come on, would you reach out to the Lord and let's pray like apostolics know how to pray? Come on, some of you letting the people sitting next to you intimidate you from praying like you really know how to pray or like you want to cry out to God. Don't do that. Don't do that. Go ahead and pray. They need to hear your voice. They need to hear you crying out to God. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Ghost never says tomorrow. Holy Ghost never says tonight. Holy Ghost never says next week. Holy Ghost never says next revival comes along. Holy Ghost always says today. Jesus agonizing over that beloved city of Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, how many times I would have gathered you like a hen does her brood, but you would not. You pushed me away. You killed the prophets that I sent to you. You silenced their voice because you didn't want to hear them. You tried to close your ears to the message. How many times I've tried? Oh, Jerusalem, he's agonizing. And then he says, the most difficult thing, because thou knewest not the time of your visitation. How many times I sent a prophet, I sent someone to preach to you and to talk to you and to tell you, but you missed it. You weren't sensitive. One time he said, oh, I have a hard time with you, Pharisees. He said, you can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the time. You can look out and say it's going to be foul weather. It's going to be a storm. But you can't tell how soon and how swiftly things is changing spiritually. Paul preached to Agrippa. He gave him his testimony of how God stirred him and moved upon him on the road to Damascus. Agrippa was touched and he said, almost. And Paul said, I would to God that thou were not almost, but altogether like as I am, except for these chains. I would to God that you wouldn't pitch your tent between almost and altogether. I would to God that you wouldn't be reluctant. I would to God that you would yield. I would to God that you would surrender. I can't make, as persuasive as Paul was, as powerful and anointed as Paul was, he couldn't make that decision for the king. It's you that's got to make that decision. There's a young apostolic boy that was many years ago, and they did this more times past. Everybody didn't have the luxury when they turned 16, 17 years old of buying their own vehicle or someone giving them one. And so he had applied for a job, and he was going into the city, and he was hitchhiking. He was along the road there, and there was a very nice sedan that pulled up and pulled over, rolled down its window. It was a nice, shiny, new Cadillac. The voice from the inside said, get in, son. He said, I'll give you a ride. And he got in the back seat and sat down, and you could see as a well-dressed, successful-looking businessman.
As they began to drive down the road, there was just leisure conversation. That young boy felt the tug of God on his heart to witness to this man, to talk to him about his soul, talk to him about the Lord. He was reluctant because he was so intimidated. This man was obviously very successful. He might stop the car and tell him to get out. He was thankful for the ride, didn't want to seem ungrateful. But again, he felt a strong urge, and finally he said, "Sir, I want to talk to you about your soul. I want to talk to you about God." And begin to talk to him from the scripture. He said pretty soon the car eased over back onto the shoulder. The driver put the car up in park, and he said to himself, "Oh, no, here it goes. He's going to tell me to get out." And just as he put the car into park, that businessman leaned his head over on the steering wheel and began to sob, began to cry, broken before God. He said, "Son, you don't know how long it's been since I've had somebody talk to me about my soul. How long it's been since I've felt the presence of God like I feel it right now." He said, "Well, sir, I believe God is able to renew you. God is able to restore you and bring you back." He said he reached up his hand over the seat there and began to pray for that man. And as he was repenting before God, and the Holy Ghost came in, restored that man, renewed that man. When he let him out, he gave him a business card, and he said, "If you're ever in Chicago," he said, "I want you to look me up. I want you to get to know my family, and I want to introduce you." He said, "Please, please give me a call." He said, "If I'm ever there, I will." Several months later, he found himself in the city of Chicago. He got that old card out and dialed a number, and there was a lady's voice that answered on the other end. And he began to explain the situation, said, "Your husband, I met him on the road, just hitchhiking. He picked me up. And I got to talk to him about the Lord and prayed with him, and he repented, and God restored him. He told me if I ever came to Chicago, to give him a call. And I'm in Chicago, and I thought I'd call him." The lady began to weep. She said, "I'm so glad to hear that. I'm so glad that you called. You see, he never made it home from that business meeting. He fell over dead later that evening in his hotel room with a heart attack. But I'm so comforted to know that God reached him before it was too late. The Holy Ghost says, today, today, today." Would you stand with me? Brother Blue used to preach a message like this and couldn't get finished. Not so today. Looks like I'm going to finish this one. I used to could stand in a pulpit like this and preach about eternity for 15 minutes, and people, I'd have to tell them to stay back. Let me go just a little further. I'm trying to reach for somebody, and people were so touched by the power of God, they'd run down to the altar. God, help us. Help us to get stirred again. We're living in a late, late hour. Shades are being pulled on this dispensation. Yeah, time's just about up. And this preacher feels that. I feel that. I feel it. I don't mean to go heavy. I don't mean to try to frighten anybody. That's not my tactic. I'm just helping somebody. I'm hoping to shake somebody that's asleep spiritually and wake them up, help them to realize they need God. They need God. One of the greatest conviction preachers I ever heard in my life, a couple few years ago, passed away. Brother Orfoss. All of his conviction preaching. He had a 17-year-old son that didn't have the Holy Ghost. And he was scheduled to go off and go to a camp meeting, preach. And that boy was going to go with him. It was summertime. He was just got out of school and was going to go off to college, start his life. And they realized that their time to reach that young man was limited. And so, I was packing up, getting ready to go, and Brother David Foss, who now pastors Bethel Tabernacle in Houston, the son of Brother R. Foss, was younger than Daryl, who was the 17-year-old son. Just moved on, stirred up. Went out to where his dad was sitting in the car waiting on his older brother to come on out of the house and they could make their trip. He leaned in the window and said, Daddy, he said, whatever you do, reach Daryl. Reach Daryl this week. Reach him. Do your best. Preach to him. I hope we can reach him. And Daryl did get the Holy Ghost in that revival or in that camp meeting. Prayed through. And 2 weeks later, was killed in an automobile accident. You think that father ever wondered had he not been obedient to God and had he not reached and had he not taken the time to try to preach, do his best, try to see the heart stirred. He never regretted that, preaching to that boy. And I'm not going to regret this morning trying to reach for somebody, even though some may misunderstand. Some may not be able to feel what I'm feeling here. But I hope what I have on my heart be transferred to yours. I hope you can some way shake yourself, Samson, and realize the Spirit of the Lord is here. God's dealing with you. Come on, Samuel. God's trying to speak. Do you recognize it as the voice of God? Or is it just the voice of the preacher to you? Just the voice of Brother Calhoun. You better recognize it as the voice of God here this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. God, stir my heart. The Holy Ghost is saying today, today, today. These altars are open. Those that like to come, those that like to pour their heart out before God, for those that realize that God is talking to you, God is trying to stir you. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just need to step out. Sometimes you need to leave some things when you do back at the pew. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just need to step away from it and say, I'm not going to let pride keep me out of heaven. I'm not going to let what somebody may think about me keep me from being right with God. I'm not going to let my reluctance to weep and my reluctance to pray and my reluctance to seek the face of God keep me from being right and getting this opportunity, because I may not feel what I'm feeling ever again. I may not have this chance. Hallelujah. Come on, it's time to be stirred. It's time to be stirred up in the Spirit. It's time to be moved on in the Holy Ghost. Time to let God talk to you. Amen. You've been shoving Him away and pushing it back. Time to let go. Time to really yield. It's time for surrender. It's time to open up. Hallelujah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, he said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost said today. Today I'll work. Today, if somebody let me, I give them a chance. I give them an opportunity. I'll forgive. I'll cleanse. I'll wash. I'll make whole.
Hallelujah. Can I get some altar workers? Can I get somebody to help me with a burden? Hallelujah. Can I get somebody to help me pray? Come on, if you are able, I want you to cry out to God with intercession. We need some help here today, church. We need some help. Souls are teetering between heaven and hell. Sin's got people blinded. The devil's got people to see, thinking they got a lot of time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, behold, today, the Holy Ghost says today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on now. Come on now. You're going to let this slip through your hands? You're going to let this opportunity go? Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, talk to us. Oh, Spirit of the Lord, move on us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Irolobori amaya shotololomoho. Itayaralalalamaya kotolololomoho. It's not a time to be prideful. I'm sorry, this is not a time to be tough. It's not a time to say I'm not ready. Not a time to push God off. Oh no, today the Holy Ghost says. Today the Holy Ghost is speaking. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yorobo yokoto lolobo riyamaya katayana lalabahaya. Can you hear him calling? Hallelujah. Can you hear him calling? He's near to somebody. He's close. Hallelujah. He's made himself available one more time. Somebody reach out and grasp a hold of this. Oh, come on. Somebody give him a chance. Give him a chance today to touch your heart.